by faith, purifying our hearts by faith. And I just want us to turn to the book of Acts, where we're taking our teaching from, in Acts 15 and verse 9, Acts 15 and verse 9, and here, and it says, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And this, of course, is where the gospel is being given now to the Gentiles, both Jews, Greek, Gentiles, all that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that our faith has to be purified. The heart, the faith. Faith, heart, has to be purified. And we were looking at this in detail last time. And we showed that it's not the works of the law that purify, but it is the believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel. It is the word of God that purifies the heart. For the heart is essential to believing. When you speak of faith, you speak of the heart. When you speak of the heart, you speak of faith. That is where you believe. It is in the heart. But the heart has to be worked upon, purified. And of course, God shows us that's the word. Why does it have to be purified? Because God is holy, and we have to be pure in his sight. And I showed you last time this idea of purification, which means to cleanse. It's figuratively speaking about a physical washing or the cleaning of utensils. The high priests, the Levites, had to clean themselves. They had to clean everything, wash it, so that they could then be presented and go into the temple. And of course, the high priest, once a year, into the holiest of holies. So there is this idea of this washing. But it also signifies a washing of guilt, of sin, defilement, where sometimes we sin, we've fallen short, and so that washing, that purification is set in motion if we believe by faith, and God works so that he keeps our garments clean and spotless and pure in his sight. So all of that, of course, is on CD for those who wish to hear it. I'm not going to go through it again because it's there. But I want to take this a step further, this purifying our hearts by faith. Now, purifying also works this affection in the heart. Because without it, you will never please God. Affection is essential to yielding. Now, we all have areas where we have an affection. You might have an affection for your pet dog, or your cat, or you might have an affection for chocolates. You might have an affection for a number of things. And if you think upon those affections that you have, I can guarantee you, you don't have to work at it. It's naturally there. You respond to that affection that is in the heart. And that is what God has to work in you and I, to follow him, to be yielded to him, to obey him, as we heard this morning in that rather somber prophecy. Now, all that God gave through that prophecy this morning, only God can fulfill and do in our lives. But in order to do that, he has to put that affection within the heart. Because if the affection is there, then the yielding is there and the obedience is there. And where we are falling short, where the Holy Spirit still highlights that we're not yielding, is showing that the affection is not really there as it should be. And so the obeying, the yielding, is not there either. And it doesn't take long. It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take a degree in theology to to find out where we stand day by day in our walk. And this is why God purifies the heart. And I showed last time that this purification from Ephesians 5 is the word that purifies. It's a washing, a cleansing. And that is why it's so essential for God's people to come regularly under the anointed word. You cannot survive. You cannot keep clean otherwise. That word out there that is defiled and clean begins to wear on you. And that is why it's essential. It's also essential because that without faith it's impossible to please God, as it says in Hebrews 11:6. And so as the heart, faith, the heart is being worked on, so we believe. We believe upon the word of God. We believe upon the promises. You believe that greater is he that's in you that can perform it than he that's in the world. But it requires the word to continue to do that. And so although we're told that faith comes by hearing the word of God, it also is a purifying aspect as well. And so we see your faith has to be purified, it has to be worked upon, because that master seed of faith in which we please God with has to be undefiled, clean before God. God cannot receive it otherwise. God cannot receive uncleanness, defilement, for he is most holy. And even your faith to believe has to be worked upon so it is clean, holy in his sight. And he will work that. And he's working it right now to those that are hearing this word. This word that is coming forth, which we believe by the anointing, is cleaning you, so that you can be in God's presence. Because defilement, dirty garments, start to remove you from the presence of God, and you no longer begin to experience him, hear him. Your prayer life begins to suffer. Your reading the word of God, your walking, your relationship with him begins to suffer. What is happening? That is defilement beginning to take over. You as royal priests, which you are, you have to be clean. You have to be kept clean, the same as when you physically wash day by day. If you leave, you don't wash for a week, you're going to be dirty by the end of it. And others around you will know it as well. And so it's the same spiritually, and yet Christians are asleep to this. They don't see this. And so God works these affections within our heart because this is essential for healing. And it's not something that you work at. It's what we call this absence of resistance. When God requires you to do something, you don't resist him, but you yield. But you ain't going to yield unless the affection is there. And the affection can only come as God works with your faith as he purifies. And that's sometimes painful. It's not always easy. As God's purifying you, as he's working with you, sometimes you feel, I can't go on anymore with this. I've come to the end of myself. And yet we heard this morning prophecy. We've got to realize that all our experiences, day by day, whatever we go through, are all working together for good. And there is a reason behind it, and that's why he wants you to count it all joy and rejoice and praise him. And we're still not quite yet at that place. I'm a great believer that once you start praising God in your trials, you're going to be delivered from it a lot quicker than you actually realize. The fact that you gripe and moan still keeps you in that wilderness like it did the children of Israel for 40 years. They could not learn to praise and thank the Lord, but it was all working together for good. It was tailor-made. And every time we gripe and moan at our trials, you still remain in the wilderness. You are not learning the lesson. The same as the children of Israel did. How dare you say that, Pastor? Why? I go to full gospel assembly. The Bible shows us quite clearly we can, and many sadly do, make the same mistake as the children of Israel made. Now, of course, we need an affection within our hearts. And so God has to work that affection, and he works it and works it, so that in the trials we begin to find there's an affection somewhere there that wants to just praise God because you've learned it's tailor-made for me. It's purifying me. And you begin to yield over. And then you begin to experience God's mighty hand in deliverance, delivering you, ministering to you. Now, of course, our trials are different. And many in this assembly here are going through trials and deep trials. But we must learn those trials. We must learn what God is saying in those trials. That's what we're going to find ourselves just remaining in that wilderness, going round and round and never learning. Never learning. The children of Israel never learned. They didn't want to learn because the affection wasn't in their hearts to yield to that learning. They didn't want to hear the word of God. And so if you want to start yielding, you first and foremost have to have an affection for God's word. An affection for the deeper life. This word has to draw you week after week after week. In order for God to begin to work that godly faith in your life. Because faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, as we know so well in this body. You see, the unregenerates out there are not willing to surrender their selfish will to God. They're not even about to. Do you know why they don't surrender their selfish will to God? Quite simple. Because the affection is not there. It's not there. And they're not going to. They're all out doing their own thing, pleasing themselves, and no regard for the will of God. No regard for the fact that they are walking to a Christless eternity, to hell. Because it holds no affection. And so you see, as we come and we listen to this word week after week as we hear it, so the believing comes as God works in the heart, as he begins to purify the heart, so the believing comes, and as the believing comes, so then the actions come. Otherwise your faith is dead. Anybody can confess faith, but we must show the fruit of faith, and the fruit of faith is our actions. And faith is very practical, meeting the general needs, the basic needs. Seeing a need, if you can fulfill and help it, then you do. It's not going around raising the dead everywhere. You have to learn the practical elements of faith before those greater works start coming, and they will. But it comes by this hearing. And as God works, purifying our hearts by faith, so then the acting comes. And the active side of faith comes from the heart. It comes from a purified heart. You cannot act your faith unless your heart has been worked on. Otherwise, it's religious and it's works. Now, God expects works. But those works come from a heart that has been purified by faith. And so those works that glorify the Lord come as you appropriate it by faith. By the word that encourages you. And so as you hear that word, and as that word works in your heart, there is something within you as you yield over to it. That word, that yielding is also the active side. The reason you don't act your faith is because you're not yielding. The yielding is not there. You've decided what you like to yield in and what you don't want to yield in. And so you've not settled it. And sometimes you have to go right back to the cross to settle it. And do you know what settling the cross is? It is settling to the fact that I surrendered my life, I have no more say over my life, what I wish to do, or an independent spirit. It is a total yielding up to God as disciples, and when you get up off your knees, your life does not belong to you anymore. And it is only living for the will of God each day. And He will work that by the Spirit. He'll work it. Your life is surrendered. Paul's life, the Apostle Paul's life, was surrendered. They tried to hinder him, stop him from going to Jerusalem, because they probably knew he was going to be martyred, just like Jesus. But he said, I must go and fulfill. And not only to Jerusalem, but I must go to Rome as well. He didn't regard his life. It didn't matter whether he lived or died. He belonged to the Lord. That's what God has to work in you and I. It doesn't matter whether we live or we die, we're of the Lord. Our life doesn't mean anything. It is the Lord's. It is His life in you and me. He's now living, breathing, walking, everything, His life to you and me. And we surrender up, we yield over to that. Now, of course, it's impossible in the natural. No man, woman could ever do that. But the Holy Spirit has come precisely to do that. That's why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. For that very purpose and reason. When you say to me, oh, this sounds a bit extreme. Well, allow the Word to do that purifying work. And you will find that you will have an affection for that yielding. You will have an affection to settle it. You will have that affection to please God. You will have that affection where you've got no more regard for your life, your comforts, your wants, what I want first. You see, religion is such a problem because religion doesn't save man. Religion is that I will follow God, but on my terms, my conditions, and God's got to fit in with me. Forget it. Never works. And religion is trying desperately to please and follow God. And that's why, sadly, works so often are an abomination in His sight. No. It's a complete settling the cross. Jesus did it. The disciples did it. The early Christians did it. Many of them were martyred for the faith. Didn't even regard their life as worth anything in this world. Their only life was to be found in Jesus Christ and Him glorified. An affection of the heart. The Spirit had worked that. They had settled it. And it is the same for us. And this is why He's purifying our hearts by faith. And so as this faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God, so as we allow Him to purify, as we yield over to what we read, what we hear, so He begins to work and purify. And in that purifying, He's working that affection. Just like you have a chocolate. Or whatever it would be. He can work that. He will work that. God's opened my eyes to this. Because there are times when you just think, Lord, there's areas of me that resist. Who can deliver me, a wretched man that I am? What I know I should do, I don't do. And what I don't do, I do. And you get to a point, where's the change going to come? You get desperate. And God shows, my word is purifying your heart, my faith. And it is that purifying that will work the affections. So that I work in you both to will and do for my good pleasure. Praise God, you can rest. But you can't rest from this word. If I'm to please God, if God is to work His will in my life, then I have to be 101% committed to this.
Amen.
And what I hear, regular, because it is my washing, my hearing. my changing? The Word of God. The Word of God is the power in which to change lives. And if this Word cannot change our lives, then forget it. Because there's nothing else that can or ever will. Or you can just go back and play at religion, like so many do. I know I bring this out so often, but I feel in the context of what I'm talking about here, that if you're battling and you just feel it's not working, here's one of the great promises that was given to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 13 and verse 22. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. So God shows he's a miracle working God, that he can change the heart and nature of a man or a woman. That is why salvation, redemption, is a miracle. What did Ezekiel say that God would do in the last days in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 onwards? And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take away the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And then he goes on, I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. And then he calls the grain to multiply and so forth. He will purify, he will cleanse. And here it is. But what does he have to do? He has to put it in your heart. It's hopeless otherwise. Now some of us may have to wake up to the fact it's not yet in our hearts. But God said, I'll put it there if you want it. But it's on my conditions. Our conditions are telling God what to do is finished. It's not on those terms. God is most sovereign. And he reveals his sovereignty. He reveals that man cannot save himself. He is totally depraved. It is a work of grace, but it is on God's conditions. And so God's conditions this morning shows us that if we want these affections to yield, then God is purifying our hearts by faith. And he will do it. Now, for God to purify our hearts by faith, it is an ongoing work. It's not just a once-off work. Sometimes I wish it was, but it isn't. So how does this continue? How does God continue to wash, purify, keep us clean in his presence? Well, I've already said that he brings us week by week under this word, or when you have your quiet time before God and you read the word and so forth. But it's also as you see that word, as that word is delivered, and as it has our name and address on it, so you acknowledge it. You come clean. Lord, this speaking to me, that came out today is my problem. Had my name and address on it. You go before God. You talk it out. You ask God. You confess. And so as you talk it out, as you confess, then the cleansing starts to work. And as the cleansing starts to work, so the affections start to change. And you begin to find, yes, I do like this. Yes, this is right. Yes, I do want to do this. I do want to be there. How's that come about? Because you've acknowledged where God has highlighted and shown those areas where you're wanting. You've not run away from it. You've not pushed it under the carpet. You've faced it full on. And so God then begins to work the affection. And as the affection starts to take root, what then takes root? Also, the yielding. The absence of resistance.
And so as God says, I require this of you, you no longer fight him or bring up your own plans, what you want to do or what you have arranged, but you yield to the Holy Spirit. You see? That is why I spoke a few weeks ago about getting uncluttered, not being entangled with the things of this world. But God wants to unclutter us. He wants to start to draw us to one side. He doesn't want us involved in things that he's never drawn us into. He wants to bring a life organized in our lives. And of course he also spoke on a practical level as well. And many of you came up and said, my word, you know, that had my name and address on it, and I know that I've got to get my act together. All of us. I don't know, with me. And so he has to put that affection within your heart. He puts that affection as you yield and you say no to that person or whatever it wants they require of you. Or where your life needs to be organized or the house needs to be organized. He puts that affection within you. Where you need to get rid of that clutter. We live now in a generation that has got more amenities, more things, more clutter than any other generation I know. How do I know? Because I go regularly up to the dump. And it's an absolute eye-opener what is taken to the dumps. It'd be flabbergasted. You know? The pickings that are there. People have taken that up because they've probably got four or five of the same thing. I spoke to the guy up there. He's watching everything all the time. He said, you wouldn't believe what comes up here. He said, the things that we can sell on is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And it's the same with us. We are so spoiled in the West. Unbelievable. But what does that do? It clutters our life. And what does clutter do? Clutter hinders. The more you take on, the more responsible it is. The more time it takes. I know, because I've found that I've not had time during the day. There's not been enough hours in the day. But God has had to start uncluttering my life. He goes right to the root of the problem. It's not enough hours. I've given you enough hours. It's not any of that at all. It's because you're cluttered. You're too involved with things. And so I've said, Father, put that affection in my heart. Because I'm not going to yield to this unless you work that in me. Because these things are security. These things make us feel secure. Make us feel that if there's a rainy day or tomorrow's not so good, well then I've got all the stores in the house, we'll be okay. That's what it does. And God says, no, you walk by faith. Faith isn't accumulating. Faith is living day by day and that God will supply. He will feed. He will clothe you. Sufficient is this day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next year. If you're still planning out the future over the next 2-3 years, you have not learnt yet to walk by faith. You haven't. It's a complete and total surrender over to the will of God. God, if you stay with this, will work it to such a degree that all the promises you read, every sermon you hear, you will be persuaded, influenced. You won't have to be told that that isn't of God, for you alone. You are so persuaded, influenced. Can God bring us to a place where we don't doubt these promises? I believe he can. And I expect him to, because he's God Almighty. I know my God and what he's capable of doing. He's not the problem, I'm the problem. Thank you. You know, we've really got to see the importance of yielding if we're to see the greater works. Jonah had to learn this, didn't he? Jonah had to learn to yield to God. And when God called him to prophesy against Nineveh, the affection wasn't in his heart. How do we know? Because the next thing we hear is he's running off and getting on a ship. Getting away far away as far as he can. As if he can. Little did he realize that God had prepared a big fish to swallow it. And I'll tell you, after 3 days, God had so purified his faith, put such an affection in his heart to yield to God, he was only too pleased. Only too pleased. And that's how God works with you and I. We think we can run away. What a joke. Can't run away from God. I know all about Jonah, his experience, because I did that for a year before yielding over to this ministry that God required and wanted me to do. When I ran because the affection wasn't there. By the time God had dealt with me for a year, that affection was there, and when it was there, then I was ready to yield. Why? Because God had purified my faith in believing for this ministry. It was worked upon. You see? And so this yielding, this affection comes by allowing the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts by faith. And it's believing by faith this word will do it. Do you actually believe that this word will do it? Do you believe what comes out of this preacher this morning? Are you in faith to believe that God can actually work those affections in your heart to bring you to a place of healing? You have a choice. You either believe it or you don't. You have that free choice. I believe it because my experience says so. I'm preaching this from experience as the Holy Spirit works this. What does it say in Ephesians 5:26? I want to bring us back to this as I bring this to its conclusion. Ephesians 5 and verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, that is his church, the bride, with the washing of the water by the word. There is this purifying. It's essential that we have this regular purifying, this cleansing, the word working in our hearts. Because the word brings that faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he's bringing a remnant now in the last day who will walk totally by faith. Who are not going to trust in the arm of the flesh any longer. Now your circumstances may say, well, that's impossible. But very often our trials or our going to the arm of the flesh is actually showing us that we haven't paid the price in getting this word into our hearts. It's not about how we've lived and what we've done. Very often when God deals with me, it's because I'm still not listening as I should. Or I don't want to hear that. Or I'm not ready for that yet, Lord. Give me another 6 months. It's amazing how we bring up these things. We don't say it vocally, but it's churning away there. No, as the Holy Spirit highlights, the same as he's highlighting this morning, all these areas, we just lay naked there before him. And we just allow the Holy Spirit to take over and do that work. So that we can yield. Because you've got to learn one thing in the deeper life. The only way I please God is to obey him. That is the ultimate. And when I have yielded and I have obeyed God, do you know there are times when he lets me feel my Father's heart towards him. He lets me feel how he feels when I have obeyed him. I can't explain it. It's an inner knowing. I've pleased him. Because it's costing. It's cost me. And it's the cost is because it's taken a life walk with God to work that, to bring me to that place of obedience. And he'll let you feel that. If you've never, you will. And you know, when you experience that and feel that, you want more of it. Because it works that love. How much the Father loves you, that he works that in you and me. Because that is the deeper life. John 3, verse 6. John chapter 3 and verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so there we are. He says you have to be born not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. For the Spirit has to be cleansed, washed. Not your flesh, but your spirit, your heart. The spirit, the soul, the spirit are connected. You are spiritual and you have to be washed. What's it saying? John 15, verses 1 to 5. Here it is. Here's a promise I bet you've not seen before. In John 15, verses 1 to 4. John 15, verses 1 to 4, it speaks of the vine, the true vine. He says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, you may have read this many, many times. We've had many sermons on this. But he says here, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Jesus knew, being the word made flesh, he knew that as he spoke to his followers and he spoke to the disciples, he says, my words that I speak to you have cleaned you. Here it is, this purifying hearts by faith. The word has to purify us, to make us clean. So, may I suggest to you, you have to be kept purified if you are to remain in the vine, grafted in, as you are removed. And those that are removed, remove themselves from the word of God that kept them clean, purified. And that's what he says here. And he can, why is he saying this? Confidently, because he knows the Father gave him a seed to redeem. He saw those that were called from the foundation of the world by the way they responded. That's how you know them. Jesus said, you know them by the way they respond, by the fruit, the way they respond and they follow the word of God and will not let it go. That's how you know them. And so they are that vine. So he can rightly say, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He dresses it, in other words. And every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Why does he take the branches away that don't bear fruit? Because it will hinder those that do. That's why. Now any gardener who prunes knows that he has to take away the dead branches, knowing full well that they're not going to produce any fruit or any flowers or so forth. So you prune them, you cut them away, but you don't cut the new growth, the young growth, the tender growth. You leave that there, because that is going to grow up in season and produce other branches to produce the fruit, the flowers, whatever it will be. And that is exactly what God does here. And so he says, I will take it away if they don't bear fruit. And so he prunes it. And then he prunes even the good branches that are producing fruit. He says, I'm going to give you a prune because I want more fruit from you. And then he goes on with that. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. There is Christ's faith speaking, because he is faith. He could confidently speak that because he knew there was a remnant there who were clean by the word of God which they were hearing. And that is what it must do, is clean you. If you go away today not having been cleansed, even if it's a bit painful, that washing, it had your name and address on. If you don't go away today not cleansed clean, then something was wrong. You either were not hearing, or you didn't want it. But if the word has washed you over, has convicted, has brought highlights, areas that you need to go and see God about, so that you can have that affection to yield, then you are clean. And I, like Christ, can say confidently as a preacher, you are clean by the word of Christ. How do I know that? Because God has got a remnant. And how do I know that he's got a remnant? Because I see it before. That gives me confidence as a minister. And then Jesus goes on to say that those that abide in him, there it is, you've got to abide, stay with him, then those branches will continue to bear much fruit, for by the fruit they shall be known. So there we go, friends, purifying our hearts by faith. A deep work, isn't it? But not an impossible work. God has gone before and prepared the way. And he said he will have a remnant of himself who will be worked upon by that word which they hear. For faith comes by hearing the word of God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. But your faith has to be purified. Your hearts have to be purified. And that is why he gets you here each time. To purify you. That is why the house of God, our meetings, our coming together are essential. And as we heard in prophecy this morning, the days now of messing about, doing our own thing, has gone. It's gone. Night is near. We are nearer than we realize. The events in the world now, what is happening, what is taking place, the rise of Antichrist, the soon come upon the scene. We are nearer to this than we realize. And the bride must make herself ready if she's to be raptured and taken away. Don't be left behind. That will be awful. That will be awful to be left to the great tribulation, to the wrath of Satan, the dragon that comes forth. Nobody wants to be left in those days. But God loves us, but he has provided, and all the provision for you to make it in triumphant is with this. These 66 books, the Word of God.